Among the legendary stars of the NBA, one player stands out. In the 1960s, Wilt Chamberlain was a 7-foot black giant in a white man's league. Chamberlain's prowess brought change to professional basketball, and one momentous night brought the stuff dreams are made of. In a new book titled Wilt, 1962, The Night of 100 Points and the Dawn of a New Era, author Gary Pomerantz explores the legacy of the star whose life is still defined by numbers.
At the moment of his great glory, a minute 25 to play, the kids in Hershey screaming, "Give it to Wilt, give it to Wilt."
1 minute and 1 second to play, he has 98 points. Rogers throws long to Chamberlain. He's got it. He's trying to get up. He shoots. No good. The rebound, Luckenbill. Back to Chamberlain. He shoots. Up. No good.
For a player to score 100 points in an NBA game, he must not only want to do it, he must, on a deeper level, need to do it. To take an opponent, an entire sport, and bend it to his will. To show that it could be done, and only by him.
Gary Pomerantz, thank you so much for joining us. Greatly appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
I must say I found it most interesting that you focus in on what is clearly, in my opinion, one of the greatest sports legacies of any professional sports, and certainly one of those records that I think will be very hard, if ever, broken.
Yes, Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game really is the Everest of sports records. I mean, it's never been approached. No one else in an NBA game has scored 90 points or 80 or even 75. The next highest point output by a player other than Wilt was 73 points by Denver's David Thompson in 1978. So while it's one of sports' most legendary performances, what I discovered was hardly anyone knew anything about it.
That's almost what makes it the perfect storm, the fact that it was in Hershey, Pennsylvania at the time, the fact that in 1962 the pro game was not nearly what we know it as in terms of popularity today. There was no footage of this, video footage. I mean, it really lends itself to great sports lore.
Yes, and when you think about the NBA of 1962, you need to forget the glamour and glitz of today's NBA. Back in 1962, the NBA was perceived by many sports journalists as a lounge act. You still had players smoking cigarettes, sometimes at halftime. They were washing their own uniforms in hotel room sinks. And the league was trying to grow new fans by playing games outside of the big cities, in places like the famous chocolate town of Hershey.
We spoke recently with Walt Frazier and George Gervin, no slouches in their own right with the NBA, and they said hands down, Wilt Chamberlain was the greatest player they ever played against and certainly they'd ever seen. And people who've seen Michael Jordan find this hard to fathom, but Wilt Chamberlain literally changed the game.
He certainly did, and you know, with all due respect to Michael Jordan, he could never be Wilt Chamberlain, in part because of the difference in the time periods. Michael Jordan playing in the 1980s and 90s. The league had certainly established itself as a major league sport at that point. But in 1959, Wilt Chamberlain entered what was largely a white man's enclave. And Wilt Chamberlain took on what was unquestionably a quota. And this quota limited the number of African-American players to initially one or two per team, and then three and four. And what Chamberlain was doing was leading the movement that would shatter that quota to smithereens.
I'm wondering if you would agree with this. I have often thought that Wilt Chamberlain didn't always get the due in terms of who he was as a person. When you think about Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier, you had to have, and Branch Rickey has said this, the right person in terms of disposition, intellect, and confidence. The same could be said for Wilt Chamberlain in that he embodied all of these and really did move himself and this league forward.
Well, he certainly did, and he was Goliath. He used to say that nobody roots for Goliath. He just didn't reveal much of his softer side. A story that one of his teammates shared with me, Paul Arizin, also a Hall of Fame player, was a teammate for 3 years with Wilt, 1959 through 62. Now, Arizin, who is white, was married, significantly older than Wilt, and so they'd never really had a meaningful conversation in three seasons as teammates. Now, all these years later, 1997, the NBA names its top 50 players of all time. They honor them at the All-Star Game in Cleveland. And Paul Arizin brings his 16-year-old granddaughter, Stephanie, who is suffering from an inoperable brain tumor. Will Chamberlain found out about this, and he had befriended Stephanie's father, who was Paul's son, Michael, in the locker room all those years before. So he begins a letter-writing correspondence with young Stephanie. And in Cleveland, Stephanie's in a wheelchair. Wilt pushes her wheelchair around the room, helping her to obtain all the autographs of the great stars. And when that night was over in Cleveland, Paul Arizin was emotional, and he said, "You know, Wilt, I'm indebted to you. I don't know how to thank you." And when I talked about it with Paul much later, I think what he was struggling to say was, only now did it feel truly as if he and Wilt were teammates.
When you think about Wilt Chamberlain, outside of the numbers, 100-point game, 50-point average per season, the infamous 20,000 women, what do you think about?
Well, I think of Wilt as the single most transformative figure in the game's history. I think as time goes by, Wilt will increasingly get his due. For right now, I think we can find the shorthand summary of Wilt's life in two numbers, 20,000 and 100. And, you know, the 20,000, of course, as you say, from his boast late in life that he'd slept with 20,000 women. But the 100 from this magical night in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And needless to say, one number can be proven and the other can't.
Well, it is clearly an interesting read. The title is Wilt, 1962, The Night of 100 Points and the Dawn of a New Era. Gary Pomerantz is the author. We thank you for spending time with us.
Thanks for having me on the show. I've enjoyed it.
To hear Gary Pomerantz reading from his book, log on to npr.org.